government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this Thanksgiving, November the 26th on the West Coast, and now November the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would like to also wish everyone around the world listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio.com, a very happy and now that Thanksgiving is gone, I guess I should say I hope you've had a very happy Thanksgiving and enjoyed it, a great meal. We're going to go right into tonight's guest. He has his own radio show on the two networks I just mentioned, Wind Talkers and Blog Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, and it's called A Marine's Disquisition. I get to appear on that show every once in a while, and right now it's been on Mondays, and we're going down the rabbit hole, exposing all the corruption and things that the mainstream media is not reporting. This gentleman came to me by way of the late Marianne Ponder, and she's still in our memory. And I welcome back to Evident Footprints again, Drew Malone Raines. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. To all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi. To all my Marines around the world, your warriors on duty, even though it's a holiday in most places, it's still, just into the evening there in Hawaii. I want you all to take a reflection on what this day has really been about and the fact that it was started 220 years ago today, this was 220 years ago today, George Washington had set this day aside on October the 3rd of 1789, that the 26th day of November of 1789 would be a day of gratitude and devotion to Almighty God. And to those people, I want to thank Don Nikoloff and to BBS Radio for the pleasure to be on this show and to let you all know that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to unite and get together not only just one day a year, but all the time. We need to remember that Thanksgiving and prayer on this day should be observed and acknowledged with grateful hearts, the favors that Almighty God has established to us, affording us the opportunity to peacefully establish a form of government that has survived over 230 years, that brings forth liberty based on truth, honor, and justice with freedom. Not freedom with a license, but liberty. And again, thank you, Don.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I want to take a moment and let my listeners know. Some know this already, but we always have some new listeners on board. Today is the second year anniversary of my broadcast of Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And I want to thank everybody that's hung in there through the rough times that we've had, where the show's literally been knocked off the air due to fires near the studios, or due to interference of the powers that be that are relentless in their attempt to suppress the truth. And once in a while, we have an act of God there, too. Storms, and these aren't the harp storms, but regular weather storms that take out the electricity and incapacitate us somewhere across the country and around the world. But we've been very fortunate and have only had a handful shows that have been interrupted in the 2 years that I've been on BBS, and I'm very grateful for that as well.
I have a question.
You do?
Already I have a question.
Just one question.
How do you know that they aren't heart-caused?
Well, I know which ones are. Let's put it that way. You know.
I haven't got that. I'm an electronic engineer, and I got all kinds of test equipment, and I don't know how to do that.
Intuition, my friend. Intuition.
Okay.
Drew, we've been talking about a lot of things lately, you and I, and of course my other guest as well. We've been talking about what is occurring around the world with this pandemic that somehow seems to be taking a backseat to other issues now in many ways. The disinformation is still out there. You know, some countries now are reported to have 1 million people dead. I've read these ridiculous articles. Or 1 million people in the hospital, if not 1 million dead. And hundreds of deaths. And yet, and they're calling this the H1N1 swine flu. However, we know, for example, in the Ukraine that people are suffering from an Ebola-type disease that's literally turning their lungs into mush. And upon autopsy, the lungs are just black inside. Probably just the deterioration of the lungs and all the blood coagulating would be a pretty gruesome way to go. And we're not hearing any of this in the mainstream media, although there have been little reports that there's an unknown disease now.
Let me blow this out of the water. Most people in America do not know that the doctors in the Ukraine have filed suit against the government of the Ukraine and against NATO and the European nations for allowing aircraft to fly at low levels to drop spray some unknown material in eastern Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors in the western Ukraine have united together with doctors in the eastern Ukraine and lawyers in the southeastern Ukraine have come together and filed lawsuits against the government of the Ukraine to investigate this false event, false flag event, as I actually call it, or you would actually call it.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that we do not have honest newspapers in America anymore, mainstream newspapers, and people are having to go to off-stream newspapers and go to links like my own website and find English newspapers that are printed in Russia, in the Ukraine, in Italy, in Greece to find out what the truth is, because American newspapers aren't printing it. And that's an atrocity. Now, Benjamin Franklin is probably turning around in his grave, ready to pull the sword out and come over here and knock off a few of these newspaper owners like Soros, who's basically controlling the newspapers around the United States, and we're not getting the truth.
No, that's true. And I listen while I'm working on my research or on an article or whatever, what have you, even my website, I'll try to listen to what's out there in the alternative media. And, of course, we listen to some of the Patriot networks. And there are people who are quoting some of these newspaper articles as if these are the gospel truth. It never ceases to amaze me how much we point this out to people that the media is lying to us about everything. There is no doubt about that. And when you hear somebody that understands this, they make that same statement that I just made. Don't expect the media to start telling us the truth because they've been lying to us for at least 60 years. Actually, a little over 62 years. 62 is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 52.
No, 62 years. When they formed the CIA, they began lying.
Well, that was in 46.
Well, 47 is the actual establishment of it. But we could go back to 1913. We could go back to 1903. We could go back to the days of Abraham Lincoln. They lied to us about everything that was going on. The people blamed for the assassinations, for example, were...
Well, here's an eye-opener for you. Up until 1898, the United States Code consisted of one volume of laws that was no more than 4 inches thick on 8.5 by 11 paper in a book form, and 8.5 by 11 pages bounded together in a book,
uh-huh,
in small print. Not any smaller than what we have today.
Uh-huh.
That was the United States Code of Federal Regulations. What amazes me is that one book in 1896 is now traversed into 78 volumes. There are four books that are 4 inches thick that just govern the automobile code for the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, there's only three law. There's really only three laws specifics of law that we should be a, that all law is based on, I should say. We've walked away from the basics of law, and we've gotten into this Uniform Commercial Code and bounced it around, and we just don't we're not getting the full truth out there with the laws that we should be abiding by.
Mm-hmm. Now, everybody I've listened to who has an understanding of the law, an understanding of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, is pointing out the amount of fraud that's going on behalf of the judges and these decisions that are being made, where they're literally breaking the laws that they have created, and using this newly created case law as the basis for everything that they do. In other words, if a pharmaceutical company is going to make a drug, and the intention is to make this drug so they make a lot of money, a lot of profit, and at the same time cause people to become sick, and this is a reality of what's happening here. This isn't any kind of theory, okay? It's actually a conspiracy, and the fact that these judges rule against the already established legal foundations on the basis of the decisions that have continued to create law, they're just ignoring all of that. They're ignoring the Constitution. They're ignoring the case law, and they're just saying, "I just made up this reason, and this is what it's going to be. I'm the judge."
Well, and I agree with you somewhat, but with the three basic laws, we have the first cause is the cause injury to someone. That's the first basic of law. The second basics of law is to damage someone's property, whether it means physical damage or steal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third basis is fraud in a contract. And all of these three are found in the Uniform Commercial Code that was founded back in the late 1930s and adopted in all of the states and territories of the United States, with Louisiana being the final state to fully adopt the Uniform Commercial Code. And in the last 10 years since Louisiana has adopted the Uniform Commercial Code, the governors of the Judicial College there in Utah have been fine-tweaking the Uniform Commercial Code to the point that it makes it harder for the common American citizen to know what the law is. When you've got 4 million laws on the books, they tell you you got to have a lawyer or you're stupid to defend yourself. In all honesty, if you ask a lawyer to represent you, you're telling the court that you're an indigent and you're a crazy person and a belligerent person, and therefore you're turning your soul over to the court to judge with their lawyer. You have to stop and think about this, everyone. Lawyers are members of the Bar Association. The Bar Association is British. Do you understand the word British? Admiralty? Rule? Bar, B-A-R, British Admiralty Rule? That's what bar stands for. And lawyers and judges alike are members of the bar. And when you go into a courtroom, when you voluntarily walk through that door, you have surrendered your jurisdiction. But you have to challenge your jurisdiction from day one. And you have to understand that just in the last 3 years, in the fine tweaking of the Uniform Commercial Code that Howard Freeman so eloquently taught me back in 1990 and taught many of you around the United States, here is a man that has just poured his life and soul out there when he found out that the Uniform Commercial Code rules you in your daily life every day. The minute you got a driver's license, you sign your soul into the Uniform Commercial Code. When you were born after a certain time and you go to the state and you get a birth certificate, your birth certificate then becomes a commercial piece of property in which you were physically traded, and your birth certificate is used as collateral on your life. And people aren't told the truth, Don, about the law. We're not being told the truth about the flu. The pandemic is a lie. I mean, it's laughable when they say a million people in Iran are testing positive for H1N1 flu.
Yeah.
That's ludicrous. And then in the Ukraine, my girlfriend, we hung up the phone here about an hour ago, she tells me that they've now given the Ukrainian flu a new designation. The D225G.
Which
is what they're calling it.
Oh, they're just giving it that name, or does it?
They're giving it a designated name, so they can file a lawsuit. D Delta 225G. And it's related to several other, diseases that are in Europe, like the Delta 225 Echo. That is a form of the swine flu located in Norway. So we're not getting the truth here in the United States of America. We're being lied to. We're being smoothed over with the sporting events of the Cowboys and the Raiders and the Bears and the Lions and everybody that played football today, including the college games. It's a menagerie. That is equal to the Roman Empire in its last days. And nobody wants to sit back and look at history to understand this has all happened before. The Colosseums that we call football stadiums, they were there before. The gladiators of the era of Rome are here today in the form of football players. The spectators or you on the television set. If you would take that television set, ladies and gentlemen, and throw it away, you know, I shouldn't say throw it away because that's value, but put it over in the closet and just turn it off. That's all I ask. Just turn the TV off for 2 weeks and see how your mind operates. It's a travesty. the imagination of your mind is being stolen away. It's amazing that you people don't understand that, you know, these farm children that live on farms around America, that live outside the big cities, they are smarter than the kids in the city because they don't sit and watch television very much. Even the farmers in a farming community don't even bother to take their children to a daycare center because there's a grandmother that lives on the farm with them that babysits the kids. We've gotten away from this. We've divorced ourselves. We've got this single attitude, and then people want to get together one day of the year for a Thanksgiving day, and it's all about family, driving long periods, long ways, or getting on a plane and doing a little jump from one island to the other for those in Hawaii. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that we've lost our way. We have come full circle. And what I see in the history books, I see the same thing that happened to Rome happening to the United States. And we in America have forgotten the simple fact that we are individual sovereign states that have came together as a union of states to make a nation. George Washington knew it when he talked about it in his Thanksgiving proclamation and in his farewell address. Abraham Lincoln, as many of you know, was a crook, a liar, a member of the Illuminati Bar Association. And yet he understood that, wait a minute, I'm selling the soul of my nation. And when he decided that he was going to right what was wrong, he was assassinated. And other men, other presidents, have the same thing has happened to them. Where do we go, ladies and gentlemen? We're going down the path just like we did in 1858. And Buchanan, President Buchanan, warned us that we were going to go to war, civil war, if we didn't straighten up and act our ways, especially the northern states, over taxation of the southern states. The idea that the war of northern aggression, the AKA Civil War, was a war on slavery, it was never a war on slavery. Read the quotes. Read the quotes of the president. He didn't bring in the issue of slavery until 1863, when he was losing the war. The southern states outnumbered 10-1 with nothing in manufacturing facilities. No large boot manufacturer, no large clothing manufacturer, but the southern states were kicking the posterior of the northern aggressors. The only salvation that the northern states had was the massive amount of immigrants coming in from Ireland, Scotland, Germany, England, Spain, that were forced into fighting as northern soldiers. And then the encompassing array, the lie of incorporating a black battalion to fight, and yet in the southern states, if the slavery was such a bad slavery, and all of the men of the southern states were all fighting the war, leaving their wives and their daughters to manage the plantation of 4 acres or 5 acres or a plantation of 400 acres or 2,000 acres, with a large contingency of indentured servants, both white and black, or slaves from Africa that were sold to the plantation owner by a Negro from the Zulu tribes of New York, the prince from the Zulu tribes of Africa, We aren't told the whole truth. Here we are today. The year is 2009. The day is November the 27th on the East Coast, November the 26th in Hawaii. And we're still standing here thinking that we need to enjoy this falsity of a Federal Reserve note that was created almost 100 years ago, just four short years, 96 years ago. And it was passed on the Christmas Eve with just four people in the United States Senate and nine people in Congress. And they passed this over the ones that had decided they wanted to go home. We haven't had real representation, ladies and gentlemen. We may have had some real representation in Congress right after World War II, up until just around the Korean War in the House of Representatives. But not since the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, which just happened, ladies and gentlemen, literally just happened in 1963 in November. That's not very long ago. Most of us that are over 50, matter of fact, everybody over 50 knows where they were on that grateful day. That tremendous day that really changed the course of history, because we've been enslaved more and more ever since. The fruition of being enslaved started with doing away with real money. We don't have real money. We have fake money. We have color of law. We have a righteous Congress in the form of, they know what the truth is, but they lie to you. They do their due diligence pursuant to the Constitution. They mint silver coins, and they mint gold coins in Denver. You can order a $1 silver coin from Denver right now today, the 27th day of November. Pick up the phone, call the Denver Mint. For 32 federal notes, you can buy one silver dollar. 32 federal notes, you can buy one silver dollar. Now, it's going to be worse than that. Right on my radio show today, Don, Bob Chapman came on and gave a warning to all investors of the coming collapse. And it's not just from Bob Chapman. It's from a personal friend of mine that owns 22% of a bank here in Arkansas. It comes from a personal friend of mine in Shreveport, Louisiana, who has a vast amount of money tied up in three banks in Louisiana. It comes from a personal friend of mine who is the daughter of a shareholder of Citizens Bank of New Orleans, who owns 27% of the bank. And she's packing her bags. 62 years old she will be come February the 1st. And she's packing her bags and leaving the United States. She doesn't want to live here anymore. Her son is turning 36 years old. And he has already left America with his wife and two kids and moved to Belize.
You know, Drew,
5 years ago.
Yeah. I want to bring up something related to what you're talking about, because I spent half of today studying the 14th Amendment. And I should point out that amendment wasn't ratified conclusively. Two states, New Jersey and Ohio, were against the amendment. And it deals with immigration and citizenship and the ability for Congress or anyone in the justice system to take citizenship away from an American. Now, the only case where anyone can lose their citizenship is if they have committed fraud in the naturalization process. Who do we know that fits that category?
I don't know anybody personally.
Well, there's a guy.
But I know somebody, extended personality. You know, the long-legged Mac Daddy comes to mind. Captain McCain comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. See, the definition of the first cause for denying or losing one's citizenship is fraud in the naturalization process. This is not a loss of citizenship, but rather a voiding of the purported naturalization and a declaration that the immigrant never was a U.S. citizen. That's what the preponderance of evidence shows about the long-legged Mac Daddy. I'm sure you would agree. The other one is a voluntary relinquishment of citizenship. Now, our rights are unalienable, which means they cannot be taken away from us, and we cannot give them away. We can't give them to another. So those two clauses right there in the 14th Amendment, or those descriptions of the 14th Amendment, are the reason why we have to challenge what's being done in this country. Because it's all fraud. All of it. Everyone that's creating these laws is participating in the fraud. Any thoughts on that?
I agree. That's why I tell people, you know, the Uniform Commercial Code tells you right there what the law is. I'll give you the one thing that everybody gets bent out of shape about is the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. Well, all you've got to do is stand up and, where is the law that says I have to fill out a 1099 form? Where is the law that says I have to fill out a 1040 form? Where is the law that I have to do anything with you guys?
That's paid out to a foreign corporation.
It's paid out to a foreign corporation. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't fight the amount of money they want you to pay. You fight the law. Say, wait a minute. Drew, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact I don't care if they come after $60 or $60 million. The minute you argue, well, I don't owe that much, you are telling the IRS you owe them something. So don't tell them you owe them nothing. Tell them that IRS, show me the law that I am required to fill that form out. Show it to me in your own code. And that's what the problem is. America has gotten fat, dumb, and lazy. And the more you eat, the fatter you get, the more nourishment you call nourishment is nothing but poison. It's Monsanto food. And you've got to get away from the Monsanto food, and you've got to get away from the vaccinations, and you've got to understand that the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to you. Think about it.
Yes.
You can tell I get real hot on this.
Yes, yes. And you reminded me, you know, I had Dr. Rashid A. Buttar on the show.
Wasn't that a thing? Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't hear that show last night, you need to listen to that show.
Yeah, it was. He really, really brought out some fantastic information about
1 hour and 56 minutes.
Yeah. We call that a 2 hour show around here. Yeah. He was very gracious because I have a duty to bring up the fraud that's being committed against humanity. This isn't just here in the United States. This is all over the world. This is going on. And he really, to be fair to him,
Wait a minute, you're going to say be fair to him? I want to tell you, the man had to be overwhelmingly fair to you because it was 1 o'clock in the morning in Huntersville, North Carolina, when your show started.
Well, he knew.
And it was a little after 3 when you guys stopped talking.
Well, it was a few minutes before 3, actually.
No. That was but when you stopped talking on the air.
Well, yeah. Afterward, he hung up. We didn't continue the conversation.
Well, then I stand corrected. I figure you probably were having a great conversation afterward, but if he hung up and he went at 3 a.m. in the morning, he lost 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I'm sure.
Oh, well, he had to be up at 5:30 in the morning, too. So he
went and took a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done that before.
Yeah. But, you know, the information that he brought out, and you just hit the nail on the head. He talked about the toxins that are attacking the body, and how many of these transactions, we could say, are going on in amongst all the cells of the body in the trillions. I guessed, you know, that it would be in the billions. And he corrected me and said, no, it's in the trillions. And, you know, when you compare that to the money that's being stolen, it's overwhelming. These numbers are very difficult to grasp in any real way. So you have to trust that he knows what he's talking about. And he performed a number of miracles in his treatment modalities, not just with flu victims like Desiree Jennings, but also with autism. And I was having some Alzheimer's moments during the show, if you were listening. We seem to communicate pretty well and bring out, I think, the most important points that lay a foundation for those people out there that are wondering, you know, is this true what we're hearing about the swine flu, or is it true what we're hearing about the vaccines, or what should I do? And he really had a lot of different solutions to point out, starting with, you know, what people eat, how they eat, and addressing the issue that we've all ingested toxins in one form or another, either when we got shots as infants or children, and even into adulthood, or the food that we eat and the intentional poisoning of the food with these things that are designed to be flavor enhancers, to cause people to want to eat more of the stuff. I mean, you know, the level of greed that we're witnessing, I think the universe has never experienced like it is here on planet Earth right now. But it was a fantastic show, and he certainly touched upon many of the issues that affect each one of us, whether we care to talk to other people about it or not. If anyone just listens to what he said and imagines that they were just that he was talking to them alone, that message really hits home very hard. And he's very lucid and very multidimensional in his approach. Even listening to what I had to say about it, he was very receptive to my comments. You know, I'm trying to put on the hat of the listening audience and consider what questions they might ask. And of course, I had a few of my own too. That's really the approach that we have to be willing to take in other aspects of what's happening in this country. As you mentioned, the economy, the corruption going on in the banks. You see, people think when they're holding a dollar bill or a $100 bill that they've got a dollar or $100 of wealth. They attribute that to wealth, and it's a debt instrument. It really is an illusion. It's a symbol. It's not a real thing. And yet, the economy and life sort of follows a particular path. It seems to be functioning on some level. Yet, look at all the chaos that this system has created. Both cases, the financial system and the health system. It's created total chaos. So it's no wonder that families are falling apart, that kids aren't obeying their parents and they're not respecting adults. And in fact, they've become more than disrespectful. They've become very belligerent. And they've been taught this. This is the thing, because the parents think that they're teaching our kids the way we were taught when we were kids. And that's not the case.
None in this world.
Now,
and I don't know where to go with that. I really don't.
Well, let me make another comment and just say, you know, if this all ties into what we've been saying about the media. Don't expect the media to tell you the truth, because they're going to tell you what the overall agenda is. Or they're going to give you facts that seem to represent what you expect the truth to be. You know, we could use Fort Hood as an example, or you could use any of these serial killers that have been traveling.
Well, wait a minute, let's look at the financial side of it. Let's look at that's something that comes home to everybody.
Yeah, okay.
The newspapers out there, on one breath, they come in and they say, well, new U.S. home sales have risen 6.2%.
That's a lie. That's a total
but,
lie.
But they come forth and they say, new home sales have risen 6.2%. But if you turn the page, they tell you 11 million U.S. homes are underwater from flooding.
How many were foreclosed?
And then you come back, and of that, how many are going to be foreclosed or being foreclosed? We've got over 5 million homes throughout the United States that are valued over $250,000 in areas so depressed that the banks are letting the people own the house, or that they foreclosed on, stay in the house for a third of what the mortgage was to keep the insurance on the house as an occupied home, because they don't need 20 more homes in a subdivision of 100 homes. They don't need 20 more foreclosures for sale when there are 60 homes that are for sale and are on the market that people have got their mortgages paid up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see how bad it is. But, you know, we don't have people. You know, my biggest pet peeve this year, somebody asked me, my biggest pet peeve this year is the number of lies and the failure of people to stand up for their friends. That's going to be my pet peeve that's going to remind me what 2009 really meant to me. Because I've lost 3 friends this year over stupid stuff. And yet there was nobody else that knew me, knew my honor, had the guts to stand up and call those other people and say, you're wrong. You are listening to somebody that is tearing your friendship apart because they're jealous of the friendship that man is giving you. You're jealous. They're jealous of what that man is giving your family and helping your family out. That's what the problem in America has become. People will believe something from somebody out here that has an agenda to get platitudes on their shoulder because there's somebody else over here that you're mad at. So they're going to tear your friendship apart. That's what 2009 is going to go down in my memory as I go through the rest of my life. But at the same time, I'm going to look and be blessed by Almighty God. Because every time I lost a friend this year, I was given 2 more that came into my life. That I'm very proud that those people came into my life, more so than losing the friend. I'm hurt because I lost those three friends. I am also hurt because friends that know me know that I would not lie or try to hurt those three friends. And yet, those three friends get the word out that, well, you know, he did this to you, or he's saying this behind your back. And it's all lies. People are too afraid to get involved. That's what 2009 is going to mean to me. Marianne Ponder was murdered a year ago. And the only thing that I can look back on Marianne Ponder was the grace of the uniting ability. She put three people together that of three parts of the country that knew that those three men could unite to bring truth to the masses. And I will be blessed with the memory of Marianne Ponder through my life, of what a little lady did do, and was murdered because of money, or because she was looking for the truth and sharing what she saw, and the powers to be did not want her to unite people like Don Nikoloff and Greg Evenson.
Well, they couldn't stop that, but they also want, their intention was to stop her from helping people that were going to require a lot of personal attention in getting their health back and releasing all of the negativity of being in war. You know, dealing with that, not like our government handled Vietnam, and really society for that matter. You know, they blame the soldiers for the war. That's what I saw happening.
Exactly. And her dream of the brother house lives in my heart. I've got the plan for it. She shared the plans with me. As a paralegal, she wanted to make sure, you know, what do you think about this? And I thought it was admirable and fantastic because she was not looking at a man because he was black or whether he was white or whether he was Chicano or whether he was Polish or Russian or Jew. She was looking at the fact that these men, young men, middle-aged men, and older men had served in a war and been discarded by their government, didn't care. And it goes to the same thing about me losing these three friends this year. My heart's broken over it, but I'm going to move on. It's another day. Life goes on.
Yeah.
I don't regret putting my feelings out on the end of my cuff and offering my full earnest desire to help and being shunned. I didn't lose anything except the friendship. They lost more than just my friendship. They lost their protection. And Marianne Ponder was doing the same thing. And the government and the powers to be behind the scenes, they saw the uniting of a number of talk show hosts out there getting behind her, putting the reality of this together. And that scared them. Because all of a sudden, putting these men that have been thrown to the trash can, thrown out to the dipsy dumpster, that serve this nation, that are trained in battle, that are real warriors, getting them back on their feet, healthy,
and
free from ailments,
yeah,
with their mental bases back together again, would be a detriment to the government of the United States that is not a government of we the people anymore. It is a government of tyrants. We the people have got to stop Tomorrow is the first day of the next day of your of the rest of your life. Today. And what are you going to do today? Are you going to get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and go out and do Black Friday shopping? I'm telling you, don't do it. If the American people would stop and say, okay, and I don't mean the masses. I mean if just 20% of you people out there that are listening to my show that were thinking about getting up in the morning and going out and buying a refrigerator for $200 because it's normally on sale, it's normally sells for $650, or buying a dress for $40 that normally sells for $200, or buying a laptop computer for $299 instead of $1,000, you think you get a good deal, or maybe it's a Game Boy or a game for your Game Boy, and they got them on special for $10 because it's Black Friday. Well, look at the hidden values behind the Black Friday special. These are refurbished items that they're running out the door. Tomorrow, today, I should say, the 27th day of November, the Black Friday, if 20% of the people in America would say, I'm going to put my money in my wallet, and I'm going to sit down and enjoy a six-pack and a hot dog, a.k.a. my seven-course dinner, and not spend any money. And you, I guarantee you people, you have got the power. Don't buy that new car. Why pay $50,000 for a new car? Why pay $25,000 for a new car? Why pay $18,000 for a new car? Go buy you an automobile at the used car auction for $3,000. Get you a brand new engine, or did you not know that you can buy a brand new engine with a warranty on the engine for 5 years and have a mechanic put that brand new engine that you pay $5,000 in that new in that used car that you pay $3,000 for? And go to Mabco and get you a $700 paint job, not a $300, but a $700 paint job. And the car will come out to, out of Mabco looking like it's brand new, with a brand new engine in it and a brand new transmission. You'll have $8,000 to $9,000 tied up in a car that may be 15 years old as far as the appearance of the make and model is concerned. But all the drivetrain would be brand new. The paint would be brand new. And for a couple hundred dollars, you can get you one high-dollar audio system.
And still have money left over for a seven-course dinner.
You would still have money left over to have a seven-course dinner with two bottles of champagne for dessert. So, yeah, and save yourself $20,000.
Or $50,000.
And if it's a pickup truck, you can save yourself $40,000. Now, why do I know this? I got a next-door neighbor. Black man, works his heart out. I love him to death. The guy goes out and buys a brand-new truck when this just 6 weeks ago. Got a brand-new truck for $36,000. After all the taxes and the bells and the whistles, it was $43,000-something. $43,000, and he's in hock for 7 years on a $43,000 truck. After I sat down and showed him how he could buy a pickup truck of the same exact size with high-dollar tires, brand new, a brand new paint job, a brand new engine, a brand new transmission and engine with a 7-year life warranty on it from General Motors, paint job, the whole bottle of wax for $7,800. But no, he wanted something brand new. Stop trying to live like the Joneses down the street. Ladies and gentlemen, our fathers, our grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't live like the Joneses. They didn't care what the Joneses bought. I remember my grandmother talking about she was thankful to have cornbread for breakfast. Cornbread. Because there wasn't anything left in the cupboards on those cold winter days in 1912. I can remember my mother talking about walking to school. Walking to school. 5 miles one way. Getting up in the morning at 4 a.m. Making breakfast with her mother, my grandmother, for my four uncles. Because that was the job of women, to cook. And the boys would clean up after the breakfast. And while two of the boys were cleaning up, and my mother was getting dressed for school, and my grandmother was getting dressed to go to work at a canning factory, the other two uncles were out in the barn milking 6 cows that belonged to the farmer next door. But they got paid. They got paid, ladies and gentlemen, 50 cents a day to milk those 6 cows. They didn't get any of the milk. You have to stop and think how bad it was and how bad it's going to get. How many of you people out there that are hearing my voice, on any given day, you listen to Don Nikoloff or anybody on BBS Radio? Are you preparing for the fact that there may not be power in the near future for some catastrophic reason? People in Arkansas got a double dose of it in northern Arkansas this last year where they didn't have power for 7 weeks. 7 weeks with no power. There was a dairy farm out there, and he had to bring in a diesel generator to milk 1,000 dairy cows because he couldn't find anybody to help him milk the cows by hand. 80 years ago, we didn't have dairy farms with 1,000 cows. We had dairy farms that had maybe 40 cows. 100 was a big dairy farm. And usually there were 5 or 10 people that came in and milked the cows by hand. And most people, like my uncle, he had 2 dairy cows. He went out and milked those dairy cows even when I was a little boy. 4 and 5 years old, I remember Uncle Maynard milking 2 dairy cows in the morning at 6 a.m. and then driving on a 2-lane road 13 miles to town to work in a bakery 10 hours a day for $67 a month. And the 2 cows that he milked every day, he would sell the milk for 50 cents a gallon to people that he worked with. And he had 6 hens that laid eggs. And that's where he got his eggs and his milk. He had his own garden. He wasn't a big garden, set on half an acre. But he grew something all year. Even when it was snowing, he had turnip greens out there. He would take a tarpaulin made of cloth that was a remnant of World War II, heavy-duty canvas cloth tarp, and lay it across his half-acre garden to keep the frost from killing the vegetables such as turnip greens and turnips, collard greens. He'd lay it off across the strawberries when he planted strawberries. But how many of you people out there know how to do that today to survive? We're going into a catastrophic event, ladies and gentlemen, and nobody out there really cares. All you care about is, well, it's Black Friday. And you know that, you want to know what the truth is? The truth is this nation is about to see something this nation has never seen, and that is war and the travesties of war. far beyond the travesties of World War II in Europe. It's been over 150 years since there's been any major war event on the sovereign soil of this nation. And never, never has the major cities of the northern states seen the ravages of war. And only two cities in the southern states have seen the ravages of war that are major metropolitan cities. That was Atlanta and Vicksburg. Even the New Orleans, the war in New Orleans of 1862, 63, it never hit the city. The Confederate soldiers deserted the city much like the French soldiers deserted Paris. Paris, France, never saw the ravages of real war and bombing and terrorist activity. But it's coming to America because what are we doing? What have we done these last 20 years since 1989? We have tortured our enemy. We've waterboarded them. We've placed them in private prisons and violated their human rights worse than the SS troops of Hitler's era.
We've created the enemy, too.
We have created the enemy, exactly. We've created these Muslims that want to take us down. Why? Because they're jealous. Just like the three friends that I lost this year, that somebody came to them as jealous because there was a man out there in their life to help their family. Was asking nothing from them, but giving everything I could possibly do, from advice all the way down to making sure that there would be protection and how to get out of Dodge if the city fell. And the cities are going to fall, ladies and gentlemen. And the ravages of World War II cities that burned out, such as Dresden and Berlin, and Munich, they're all going to be right here in the United States. Only we're going to call them New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, Fort Worth, St. Louis, Kansas City. The modern history is going to report devastation that has not been seen since the Black Plague of the Dark Ages. And who's bringing it? The big pharmaceutical, the elitist, the power-hungry, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Smiths, the Millers. And I come from a Miller family. I come from a Butler family. I come from the Attaway family, the Jones family, the McIntosh family. My ancestry goes to the Ukraine 1,000 years ago. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I have the honor of my great-great-uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. I've got the honor of my great-great-great-grandfather, who was the bodyguard for George Washington. I've got the honor of my great-great-grandfather that fought in the Civil War as a private and then a sergeant and then died there in Cotton Valley, Louisiana at the age of 96 trying to stop a bank robbery by three hooligans. Not black men, white men. Shot and killed him. But it was him and the sheriff of the town against six. Two men that got involved to protect the little town of Cotton Valley, Louisiana in 1896. He shot three dead himself and wounded one. The sheriff shot two dead And the one that was wounded, they hung him. They hung him on the tree called Boot Hill. There outside of Cotton Valley, Louisiana in 1896. They didn't wait 5 years. They didn't give him 17 appeals. They gave him a fair trial. But it was, you know, when you've got the, half the town witnessing it, they hung him 3 days. Today, ladies and gentlemen, when you've got two full eyewitnesses and you find somebody guilty, yeah, I'm not saying that there cannot be errors, yes. But most of the errors are done because of the culpability of the police wanting to prove somebody guilty because they want a feather in their hat. They don't want to put a guilty man in jail. They want to put an innocent man in jail so it can be over fast because there's an appeal process. The Judicial College in Utah, they meet there to basically to find the ways to get around the real defense the people are learning. No country in the world has more lawyers than the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, do you not know that in the United States there are 5 lawyers for every citizen that does not practice law? That's more than there are doctors. We got a problem in America, and the problem is us. We have failed our due diligence to God the Father and the friendship of our friends. We want to live like the Joneses or the Smiths, but we don't want to live like our forefathers lived, with diligence, duty, justice, loyalty, and honor. How far do you want me to go?
Well, you were on a roll, so I just let you go. You know, we have become creatures of comfort, driving today to celebrate the holiday with my family. I passed, I don't know, maybe 100 cars along the route. And I would say in 80 to 90% of those cars, the person driving was talking on a cell phone. Despite all the warnings about the dangers of using a cell phone, and the loss of hearing, the impact that microwaves has on your brain, People are driving cars, and they have to be talking on the phone. And they're paying more attention to the phone than they are to the road.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to interrupt you. Let me ask you a question. How much news media attention has been put forth over the dangers of cell phones?
Virtually none.
Thank you very much. That's why you see what you see. People caught talking on the cell phone.
You know, they want to know all the features that their phone has. Can it take pictures? Can they play games? Can they get on the internet? Can they send email? Can they get email? You know, these are real important things for living these days. And when the power's out, none of that stuff is going to work.
Wait a minute. You know, a lot of people, you want to know how stupid people really are? There are people out there that really feel that when the power goes out, the cell phone will work just like the phone in the house does.
Wait, do you want an answer to your question?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the power that runs the telephone, landline telephone in your home, the power that it takes to run 100,000 phone jacks with a telephone hooked up to it is what it takes to run one cell phone tower. You stop and think about that, ladies and gentlemen. A 12-volt battery can run 10,000 homes with a trickle thing. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, you have your telephones work when the power's out in your house. It doesn't take power, local power. The power comes from across a grid of telephone networks. If the power is not being brought forth from the local power plant to the local telephone company, the telephone company doesn't have to do anything. It's automatically, the power gets pulled in from the long-distance telephone lines. That's why AT&T owns the telephone poles. AT&T is not in the telephone business. They're in the line business. They own the telephone line. They own the telephone poles. And they get paid a royalty fee because that line is out there. Yeah, people aren't educated, Don. They're not getting the truth. And the mainstream media is not telling people how dangerous cell phones are. Or microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
People are eating flavored sawdust. And that's why you're so fat. It's why you blowed up. I don't know what to tell people. I'm just now learning all the nutrition facts just in the last 3 years, thanks to people like Wendy Wilson, an herbalist over in Huntersville, North Carolina. Thanks to Mary Joan Mondello, an herbalist in the state of Maine, that have taught me to look and read labels. And it amazes me that people attempt to break off friendships and successfully have done so. However, there are people like Mary Jones, she sees through those people. She sees them a whole lot better. And she calls it just like it is. Where a spade lays down, she picks the spade shovel up and slaps him in the face. She's 65 years old. She looks like 40. And she knows when somebody is trying to destroy her friendship with other people. Other people like Wendy, she can't see those things. People like Don, and we're not talking about Don Nikoloff, we're talking about another Don Hargrove.
You mean Harkins?
No, Don Hargrove, a former Marine.
Oh, okay.
Different person. You know, he's out there, and he's being told that Drew just doesn't give a hoot. But Don Hargrove, he doesn't know how to pick the phone up, and so, hey, I'm sorry, I forget. I was talking to this other guy. I was listening to this other person. But he didn't call me on the phone. And then we've got people like Don Harkin who gets murdered. And nobody wants to believe us. And Don Harkin's widow sits out there putting together the truth. Now, the powers to be weren't able to shut up the Idaho Observer because Don Harkin's wife pulled it up, and she's rolling with it. And how many of you people are supporting her with subscribing to the International Observer?
The Idaho Observer.
Oh, the Idaho Observer, I'm sorry.
You're thinking of the International Forecaster.
And that's another one. But
yeah.
Yeah. We've got people out there that are 78 years old, like... Here's Don Nikoloff. Happy birthday, Don. 78. Don's 78 years old today, ladies and gentlemen. Don,
am I 78?
You know? But, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you got people out there like Don Nikoloff and Bob Chapman, and they do their newsletters, and they support other people. Don Nikoloff is the Thomas Paine of the 21st century. I'm nobody. I'm just an irate Marine. 100 years from now, nobody is going to remember me. But 100 years from now, there's going to be people out there talking about Don Nikoloff and Don Harkin because they put their words in print. I don't care.
Actually, Drew, I think 100 years after a nuclear war, your voice will be the only one left on any archives anywhere. Just because of the volume.
Just because of the volume. All right. Yeah.
You know, all these things you're saying are so true. And
Well, here's one for you. I'll shut up and I'll give you time to talk. Truth is free, Don. Lies cost money. That's food for thought.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, you and I have been debunking some stories that have been out there because they're designed to create fear or misdirection and lead people down a different path other than the one that's going to lead them to the truth. We have been exposing the financial corruption. Now it's starting to come out in the mainstream a bit. They're throwing out these figures of $1 trillion. Well, you and I and others like us have been talking about this for the past 3 years. Why does it take them so long? Well, obviously there's an agenda to keep people from knowing the truth. So their action describes exactly what they're doing. And really you can see justification in what we said by what's coming out now. This Fort Hood incident, I described it one day as a false flag event because, like 9/11, they found themselves a patsy of a particular race or creed or religious conviction, and they were able to convince the majority of people through the media to turn against these people again. This is the same thing they did on 9/11. Absolutely the same thing. Now, is it by chance? And in my article, I said basically the CIA and the Israeli Mossad created Al-Qaeda. That's their boogeyman, you see, to hoodwink the people, I should say Fort Hoodwink the people, into the box again, that they're being attacked from outside, when the reality is we're being attacked from within. Chris Story wrote an article today. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving in England like we do here. So he came out with an article today called "The Financing of Al-Qaeda by U.S. Intelligence." Just that title right there describes the conclusions that I drew from the piece that I did. And I'm not finished with that, by the way. I've got a lot more research that I did that's going to show how they're financing it. And I've already discussed that on a number of shows. But you've got people who are reacting to the mainstream, and even those that are listening to the alternative media are saying, well, where should I put my money? All they can think about is making money, or capitalizing on some get-rich-quick scheme, you know, a Ponzi scheme. They're not paying attention to the fine print in what we're saying, is what I am trying to communicate here.
I got an IM here from Australia asking me about where to invest their money if they decided to reenlist into the Marine Corps. And I'm going to tell you, flat out, get your hands on silver bullion. and get the bullion in as small a denominations as you can for the first $5,000 worth. And then after that, I don't care what size you get. And the reason I say that, Don, and make that philosophy out there, gold and silver is all that I recommend, period. But right now, silver is running around $18 to $19. I think it was $18.81 or 88 cents at the close of business yesterday in London. And and gold is up there around almost $1,200 an ounce. Gold's going to shoot up to $2,400 an ounce, ladies and gentlemen, within this very next 4 or 5 months. But silver is right now, silver is 5 times below its real value. And when gold goes to $2,500 an ounce, silver is going to go up to at least $75 an ounce to $100 an ounce. But it ought to be, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be $150 an ounce if gold is running at $2,500 an ounce. And it could possibly go that route. Silver is the best hedge fund for the poor man. It is what this nation was founded with as real money, silver and gold. Look at what 1 ounce or what a silver coin was supposed to be made out of and what a gold coin is. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call the Denver Mint and buy a $10 gold piece right now. Solid gold. It's not going to cost you $10 because it's going to be approximately 5 grams of gold. 5 grams of gold doesn't sound like a heavy piece of metal, but when you put it in a metal form, it is. It's about the size of a dime. $10 gold piece. But it's going to cost you $150. Sorry, Don.
Yeah, well, you see, you're talking about a manageable amount of wealth that certainly if somebody's got a savings account or even a checking account and they put money in there, and they're waiting to see what they're going to do. You're not going to lose money if you invest in gold. Gold doesn't change in value. Its purchasing power has always been the same. They quote it being different rates of exchange, but in reality, you could take 10 pieces of gold and or 20 pieces of gold and buy a house with it. You could do that 100 years ago, and you can do that today. Now, what kind of house you're going to get is another story, because you as soon as you consider buying something, and most people should be focused on necessities right now, on food and water and some form of protection. Because if you have food and water, there are going to be those that don't have it that are going to try and get it from you. And this is if you think you've seen chaos up to this point, wait. Now, we're not trying to predict doom and gloom here, but the point is that you're prepared for it. Why do you have windows on your house? Or why do you have locks on your door? Because you know that there are dishonest people, and you also know that you have to protect yourself against certain elements of nature that can.
I got to interrupt there. A lock on the door does not keep dishonest people out of your house. A lock on the door keeps honest people honest.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's all a lock on the door does.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying there was a time when we didn't need locks on doors.
There was a time that my mother did not lock the front door of the house unless we were in the house. I remember going to school, to Barrett Elementary School in Shreveport, Louisiana, approximately a mile away, one way, walking to school, then turning around and walking home. And when I went to school in the morning, I was the last one out of the house. And the front door didn't get locked. And when I came home in the afternoon, usually I was the first one home. And I just walk in the door. House been open all day long. I didn't have a key. I didn't carry a key in my pocket. I think one time mother was going to take us to visit an uncle down in Alabama in Mobile. And it took her 2 hours to find a key to the front door. Because she hadn't locked the house up in 7 years. She hadn't needed a key. And when she did lock the house up, it was the only time she locked it up was when we were in the house sleeping. Because she didn't want anybody to come in the house and surprise her. But today's society, we've gotten away from that, Don. We really have. With the exception of me, everybody up and down the street know that I'm armed and dangerous, and they don't know if I'm here or not here. And when I leave, usually I leave the door open 99% of the time. But they don't know it. They just assume that they don't want to be on my property if I'm gone and I come back, because they know I'm going to be carrying something with me, and I probably blow them away. Now, I haven't shot and killed anybody yet, but I have apprehended a couple of thieves on my neighborhood. But everybody up and down the street knows that I'm a pot shot pretty darn good.
Yeah. See, now a lot of people haven't experienced these things. And when you get into a stressful time, and consider this. We've been hearing the media tell us the unemployment rate is 9.6% or 10.5%, and I've been saying for the past 6 months that it's been over 25%, and we know it's a couple of little ticks away from 30% already. That means out of every 100 people, there are 30 people walking around that don't have money in their pocket to buy food. And right now, how they're surviving, I don't know. Maybe just on the goodness and the generosity of people that they run into. But that a country would allow itself to degrade to that level is beyond reason. There's no excuse for that. One can only deduce that these people are traitors that allow this to occur, that pass laws encouraging such a thing on top of it. And the corruption in these political action committees like Acorn. I don't know if you heard about them removing sensitive documents from their San Diego office because there was an investigation by the Attorney General.
Out of the state of California, not the federal government.
Yeah, this is in California.
I understand that. The investigation was by the Attorney General of California because the Attorney General of California was trying to get money back that Acorn fraudulently got from the state of California.
Mm-hmm. And what?
But the federal government should have been there closing that place down weeks ago with the FBI office of San Diego.
Yeah, years ago even. And I've brought them up on my show. I've done quite a bit of research. And I can't do the type of research that I'm doing, Drew, without running into their name by accident. I mean, it's par for the course. And the denials and the misrepresentation of what this group stands for and what they actually do and how much money they're being given. For what purpose? Why would you give all these millions and billions of dollars to an organization whose intention is to destroy this nation? Why would you permit that? Why would anyone in law enforcement permit that? And that includes the judiciary.
Well, let's look at this. Right now, beginning on the 25th, of November at 8 o'clock in the morning, The law enforcement in the state of Arkansas went to a 12-hour work shift. That means 12 on, 12 off, 12 on, 12 off. And they're doing that from the 25th. I think it started at 12 noon on the 25th. So everybody got a few hours off to be home with their family on Thanksgiving Day. But it's 12 on, 12 off. Rotation, and it's going to last all the way up until 12 noon on the 30th. And all it's geared up to do is to put police officers on the highway to write traffic violations for seat belts or a couple of miles an hour over the speed limit, or your license tag is expired,
or a burnout tail light or something,
or you got a burnout tail light because it's a $25 fine. And if it's a burnout taillight, that's probable cause. And if you've got a couple of kids in the back seat and they don't have their seatbelt on because they've been back there playing, that's $25 fine for each kid. But it's $125 court cost. It's all about revenue. It's not about honest government. And when we, the people, finally get fed up, people, you got to understand something. There's 11 million people that live in the New York metropolitan area that do not have a driver's license. 11 million people. This is the second largest populated nation in the world, the third largest populated nation in the world. And yet, we've got more lawyers than even China with 1.357 billion people. Four times as many people, and yet China's got one-fifth the number of lawyers. One-tenth the number of judges. 1/20th the number of insurance companies, and yet they live, they have their society the way they want it. But over here, we've got all this. People are sue happy. You got to sue your neighbor because the tree limb fell across the fence and damaged the fence, instead of going over to the neighbor and saying, "Hey, Drew." Or, "Hey, Don," or, "Hey, Fred, that tree limb looks like it might fall on my fence. If you haven't got a chainsaw, I'll loan you mine. And let's cut that tree limb before it damages the fence." That's what's wrong with America. Everybody wants something for nothing. Nobody wants to work anymore. Nobody knows how to stand up and put the truth on the table. I'm sorry. I'm mad. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving. I'm honored to be on Don Nikolaus' show. I was honored to have Bob Chapman on my show today. That's my Thanksgiving Day. An opportunity to get one more day of truth out there. And one more day above dirt. And I'm not going to go quietly in the night. And I'm proud to be a United States Marine. I'm proud to have Don Nikoloff as a friend. And Mary Ann Ponder. And Mary Joan Mondello. And Paul Mondello. And Wendy Wilson. As well as Colorado Al. And Dean Hutchins. And Dan Howard, and Greg Evenson, all of these people, Frank Whalen, a radio talk show host, who's got a wife and a kid, trying to do radio and earn a living, and yet do 3 hours of radio because he's good at it. He's darn good. Makes me look like mincemeat. but he can't get the sponsors to get on national radio or a local radio station because the local radio stations don't want him because he's got the truth laid down pat. It's a shame that people like Frank Whalen, who's 20 times better than I do in news, can barely get time out of his precious life to do a radio show that he should be paid for.
Don't you find it ironic, Drew, that the mainstream media does not wish, they do not care, they don't feel any responsibility for putting the truth out?
Nope. I'm not surprised. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that we, the people, have not stood up and said, no, we shouldn't have monopolism. We should not allow somebody in the state of New York to own the newspaper in the state of Arkansas. That's what I'm ashamed of.
Yeah, and the people should be demanding the truth.
Can you hang on just a second, please?
Yeah.
I got to take this.
I'll be here talking to the audience. And I want Drew to hear this, so what can I talk about? Well, I can talk about tomorrow's guest.
I thought it was an emergency phone call. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to let the audience know that Jim Murray is going to be my guest tomorrow night. And we'll probably talk about some of these issues. We've been talking about hidden technology, and much of this is related to solving energy problems. And these terms that everybody uses, you know, electricity is not green. Okay, I understand the implication that they're promoting, people are promoting a green planet. I thought this was a blue planet. I thought the water, the blueness and the abundance of water from space, this planet looks blue. And in fact, they've chopped down most of the forest. They've destroyed the green. So how is electricity supposed to make the planet green? Or how is oil supposed to make the planet green? Or pharmaceutical drugs? Or the poisons that they've put in those drugs? And in the foods that we eat, and in the water that we drink. People should be demanding that this stop. But they find it more convenient to just look the other way and pretend that it's not happening. And
they won't even take time to learn about the truth of the Iraqi war or the Afghan war. And the fact that the leaders, George W. Bush and Blair, Prime Minister Blair of England, they knew Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction before the war. And yet, we in America, we're not getting the news stories. The independent news stories in England are the ones that are printing those stories.
Well, you had 5 to 10 major lies leading up to all of that. They had the lie that Osama bin Laden masterminded the destruction of the World Trade Center and on 9/11. And, you know, who did he collect the insurance money, or did Larry Silverstein?
Larry Silverstein collected his money.
You know, and you better believe.
But he collected his money on a building that literally wasn't downed by a plane.
It was condemned too. It was on the basis of the asbestos that was in that building. And how is it that people all across this country, in business or in their homes, were forced to remove asbestos from their homes or their offices or their stores? And that guy had he was managing and leasing. He wasn't the owner, as they told us. He wasn't the owner. The Rockefellers owned that building, those buildings. They built them. But they say, oh, well, the Port Authority. Well, the Port Authority is not in a position to just hand that over to anybody. You see? But all these people were involved in that fraud. Massive, massive financial fraud. used as a pretext to create a war, to invade countries. Innocent people minding their own business began to be murdered by the millions and driven out of their countries by the multiple millions. And we heard lie after lie as to it was Osama bin Laden and it was Saddam Hussein trying to buy enriched uranium from Niger. And then we heard about the Valerie Plame case when it was brought out that story was a lie. They had to out her to discredit her. You remember Valerie Plame and her husband, Joe Wilson? And the connections to people in the media, to the Solicitor General, Ted Olson, and Barbara Olson's reappearance after she supposedly died in a plane crash at the Pentagon, her reappearance in Europe, and her arrest in Europe. These things, there are countless stories debunking the story of 9/11, including the one about the hijackers. Now they want to try a guy that they've been had hold up and been torturing in Guantanamo Bay for how many years. They want to try him. He's the mastermind. Wait a minute. It was bin Laden, wasn't it? I mean, if you were telling the truth then, it was bin Laden. So how come now all of a sudden this other guy is being charged as responsible? And why isn't it a military tribunal? Well, because it will come out that the military was a participant in 9/11, you see. They can't have it in that venue.
Well, they would have to because immediately after 9/11, immediately after 9/11, we're talking about within the hour, the political parties were focusing on Iraq as being the culprit behind 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we already know that the actual plane that hit the Pentagon was a false flag event. And we've got footage, independent footage, that shows the Twin Towers. One, the Twin Tower on the west side is actually burning because of something that blew up or hit the building. Nobody has ever seen a plane hit the building. There's nothing. They just hear noise. And then the explosion. Well, you can replicate noise in New York on the speaker system that puts out the large civil defense warning every week at 12 noon. Well, you could run the aircraft engine noise through those that blaring system, and it would sound like it.
Yeah.
Being a plane flying low over New York City.
Let me tell you, Drew, I stayed in hotels throughout my music career. In Manhattan, and I might be on the 20th floor or the 30th floor, and or even the 10th floor, and you can hear the traffic when you beep a car horn, when a taxi beeps its horn in the midst of those skyscrapers. It's deafeningly loud, and yet when that plane went overhead, it didn't sound like it was really there.
Correct, and then we've got actual independent footage that was showing the Tower 1 on fire, or Tower 2 on fire from that explosion, and that independent footage does not show a plane hitting Tower 2. And yet, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, MSNBC, they all showed pictures of a second plane literally hitting the building. And yet we've documented evidence. I've got the videos on my News and Views just in the last couple of days, again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Documenting the fact that the pictures you're shown on television are a fraud. Therefore, the complicity of that, of a plane hitting that building goes deep.
Yeah, the
goes
media,
high.
The
and
media.
I personally feel it goes all the way to the desk that Harry Truman sat at. It said the buck stops here.
Well, yeah.
That's my personal viewpoint.
Yeah, there's some desks in New York, too, that played a big role. And most likely Chicago. Interesting facts that I've discovered is that the financial corruption. You see, they destroyed the records in those buildings, but those same records are with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC has a paper trail of the corruption that occurred on 9/11.
And they don't want to come. If people know about it, oh, all the records were destroyed. Well, yeah, okay. Well, those records were destroyed. What about the duplicate records that are out there?
Yeah, what about all the registration forms and you know, the declarations that go into a public company? Because these were all stocks. There was major stock fraud committed under the pretext of a certain individual that was involved in a technology project at MIT. MIT is nothing but a glorified minion of the Pentagon as far as an educational system. They develop weapons of war, and all the associated methodologies, whether they're psychological or scientific. Everything that goes hand in hand with creating and sustaining a war and managing information and data to be used in money laundering, not to be used in proper cataloging of figures and trends and those things that would have an impact on people. No, it's outright fraud. And if these people can still be alive after having crashed into those buildings that were turned to powder and liquid, molten steel, how they could survive that after having been in those planes is, you know, there's no explanation for it. So if they're still alive, and I've named many of the people on the show, on this show, and on other shows I've been on. That's just one example of the false flag event that was used to create these wars that we're in. And they're making money hand over fist on the poppy fields in Afghanistan. Even on the night of 9/11, they showed on NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw, they showed a major explosion that they described was taking place in Afghanistan. How do we know where that was? It was at night. They wanted maximum impact, so they showed an orangish-looking explosion on a mountaintop and made a comment, you know, that there was some kind of skirmish going on in Afghanistan. The very same night. it's all mind conditioning to misdirect people to look over there instead of looking right underneath their noses where all this was going on. And it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going on. It happened again on November 5th. You see, the CIA created Al-Qaeda. I'm not just saying that. I've written about it and explained why. And today, Chris Story came out with another article. It's in the title of the article. Can't get any more direct than that.
Amen. And you know that we've been on the air almost 2 hours?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't realize. I just looked up at the clock. I said, dead gum. I thought it was only been about an hour.
Well, yeah, you were on a roll there for a while.
But I opened my eyes.
Now, what do we have to be thankful for? Well, we can be thankful that we see this, we see the truth. Now, can we say next year that we're thankful that we acted upon what we saw, what we knew to be the truth?
Or we need to be doing that every week, Don.
Yeah, but I'm saying we as a society, you know, as all of humanity. When are people going to wake up and smell the coffee and realize that they're not this illusion that's been created for them?
There are some people that are waking up. I mean, Al Gore fled in Chicago. he was at a book signing deal in Chicago at the Borders bookstore. And a lot of people, you know, a few of his fans showed up, but the protesters outnumbered the fans 10-1, and they took advantage of the event to tell the former vice president that his book was a bunk, it was a lie. And the protesters outnumbering his fans 10-1, literally got into a chant, and he had to be spirited out the back door. And when they did that, a bunch of the protesters, they came prepared. They egged him. So, yeah, there's people waking up. They're not going to take it anymore. They've had enough. So I don't think we have to wait a year, Don. I think everything's going to come to a head as soon as this second round of unemployment runs out. This extra 14 or 15 weeks that they're giving people in their unemployment. It's going to come to a head. Fruitation, March. It's not going to be those of us that are in the Informational Freedom Network. It's going to be those that don't even know what the truth is and aren't even trying to know what the truth is. They're going to be the loose cannons. And they're going to be vigilante justice out there. It's going to be detrimental. It's going to be across this nation. Personal viewpoint.
Yeah. Well, we don't pray for that.
No, I'm not praying for it, no.
But you can see it on the horizon, for sure.
I pray for guidance, you know, for the Lord to come forth and give some 4-star general or 3-star general or 2-star general the donies to stand up and say, hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore. My job is to defend the people of the United States from the enemy, whether it's foreign or domestic. And right now, we've got domestic terrorist people sitting in Washington, D.C., calling themselves congressmen or senators or judicial Supreme Court justices or the president, vice president of the United States. We have domestic terrorists sitting in Washington, in the greatest capital of the world. It's a shame that John is not even around to witness the travesties of this evil sitting and taking over the desk that his father so eloquently honored just a short 50 years ago.
Well, they had to take him out too, didn't they? Because he had discovered the truth.
And he was a real threat.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So.
And it's nauseating to me that there are still people that are supporting these criminals. Oh, he's such a wonderful man, he played the saxophone on Arsenio Hall's show on late night TV.
They better be glad I wasn't in the audience. I'd have thrown an egg at him.
Yeah. You know, everything is based on idol worship. And, you know, we're told that we should not worship idols. God himself told us not to worship idols. And they created a TV show, American Idol. And they have...
Here's one for you. Here's an independently owned newspaper in Atlanta, Texas, that's saying, asking its people not to shop on Black Friday and get out of debt. Now, That's Atlanta, Texas is not a little small town, but it's not a big town.
Yeah.
I think it's got a population of about 50,000, maybe 75.
Yeah, but there, that message just went around the whole world, didn't it?
Yeah, and I'm looking at the idea that, you know, if the newspapers around America would stand up and put the article out, don't get suckered in on Black Friday. And stay home and get out of debt. If just 15 to 25% of the people would do that, hold off 2 days, hold off a couple of weeks before you go out and buy your Christmas goods. Hold off and show these retailers and the federal government that you aren't going to take anymore. It's the equivalent of the movie network when the announcers said, stick your head out the window and shout, hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'd play that clip, but it's your show.
Yeah. I've played it in days past. I may revive it sometime.
Well, that's a keeper.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we're out of time. It's been a very interesting show. Time really flew by.
I got plenty of time, guy. I don't, you know, you're always running out of time, and I got plenty of time. I need to send you some time.
No, it's not. It's not me that's out of time. It's the network that's out of time.
I heard that. I appreciate it, guy. We'll see you on Monday on my show, the 3 W's, AMD.ELEquity.com. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com blogtalkradio.com and just type in there Drew Malone Reigns and then click on the Monday show. If you want to listen to any of my archives, you go to blogtalkradio.com, go to the show archives. They're averaging 20 to 23 shows a month. All the way back to the first week of March, when I began the archive section of Blog Talk Radio. You can have an enlightening time. Just every Thursday is Bob Chapman from day one. So if you want to learn the truth about finances, you got a place to go. The archives, you download them and they're free. Thank you. And listen, you can come listen to my show tomorrow. I'm going to have Colorado Al, and we're going to be burning the barns on the truth about what's going on around the world. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, Drew, thank you for being on the show. And I find it rather synchronistic that you made it to my second-year anniversary here on BBS.
Well, you know, I had to show up a 78-year-old.
I don't look a day over 77, actually.
Well, you do look a lot older than I do.
Thank you.
I just want to, and I know I'm older than you are, but I've been told that you look a lot older than I do. But that's your problem, not mine.
Well, I don't see it as a problem. I don't see it at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, Drew, you enjoy the rest of whatever may be.
Wait a minute, I got to get up in 2 hours. What are you talking about?
Lingering of Thanksgiving, anyway. Yeah, officially now in the States, Thanksgiving is over. So, thank you for the birthday wish as well. And I look forward to being on your show Monday.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's special guest, former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, Drew Malone Reigns III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting the show either live or in a post-dated archive. Also, we want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth is off the rest of this week. Don did the sound tonight. It was great, Don. Thank you. And to all you listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.